this Wednesday evening, we'll break from our normal routine where we've been looking at the various membership vows that we take as members in an Orthodox Presbyterian church. And what we'll do this evening, given that it is just a few days before Christmas, we will concentrate on the incarnation of the Son of God and have a brief moment together where we'll look at the larger catechism and answer a few of the questions, or ask and answer a few of the questions concerning the incarnation of Jesus as both God and man and as the mediator of the covenant of grace. And then, after reading these catechism questions, to prepare our hearts for the reading of Scripture, we'll turn to Luke chapter 2. So that means that this evening, simply put, we'll read the catechism and then we'll read Scripture. It'll be very basic. So in the larger catechism, we're giving our attention to questions 36 through 42. And this concerns Jesus as the mediator, the one who brings to us from God the covenant of grace. So question 36 asks, who is the mediator of the covenant of grace? And the answer is this: the only mediator of the covenant of grace is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, of one substance and equal with the Father, in the fullness of time became man, and so was and continues to be God and man in two entire distinct natures and one person forever. Just note in that answer here how it points out that Jesus became man and was and continues to be, even to this day, both God and man. So that at the right hand of the Father, there is Jesus dwelling there, both in his divine nature and in his human nature as God and man, both natures being joined together into one person forever, for all time. Question 37, how did Christ, being the Son of God, become man? Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary, of her substance and born of her, yet without sin. Christ became, this answer shows us, Christ became man in a sort of, an actual supernatural way, through the powerful work of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, such that Jesus shares our substance, says of her substance. That means that he is human in all the ways we are, yet he is without sin, which qualifies him and makes him able to be the unblemished sacrifice for our sins, which is what the catechism will bring out in a bit. Question 38, why was it requisite, or why was it required, that the mediator should be God? It was requisite that the mediator should be God, that he might sustain and keep the human nature from sinking under the infinite wrath of God and the power of death, to give worth and efficacy to his sufferings, obedience, and intercession, and to satisfy God's justice, procure his favor, purchase a peculiar people, give his Spirit to them, conquer all their enemies, and bring them to everlasting salvation. In other words, the answer here is that it's required that the mediator, Jesus Christ, should be God, so that he can do what only God can do, that is, bear an infinite wrath, overcome death, and perfectly procure our salvation. Only God can do that. Question 39. Why was it requisite that the mediator should be man? It was requisite that the mediator should be man, that he might advance our nature, perform obedience to the law, suffer and make intercession for us in our nature, and have a fellow feeling of our infirmities, that we might receive the adoption of sons and have comfort and access with boldness unto the throne of grace. Jesus was man and continues to be man to share our nature, because he, in order to save us, must take our nature to himself. That is, if he's going to be our substitute, he must be one of us and like us. And that also means something that is very pastoral. It also means a truth that we can cling to in our times of suffering and temptation, for we read here that he has a feeling of all our infirmities. And that is language drawn from the book of the Hebrews, particularly Hebrews 4, verse 15, for there we read, that we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, that's a comforting thing to know that Jesus himself in his incarnation has experienced the temptations we experience. He himself knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to be weak, to be tired, to be hungry, to be a part of a fallen creation. Question 40. Why was it requisite that the mediator should be God and man in one person? It was requisite that the mediator, who was to reconcile God and man, should himself be both God and man, and this in one person, so that the proper works of each nature might be accepted of God for us and relied on by us as the works of the whole person. In other words, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is both God and man, and that is something we rely upon, is something we trust in, because we trust in the man, Christ Jesus, as the mediator of the new covenant, the covenant of grace. And yet the man, Christ Jesus, is more than just a mere man. He's also God in the flesh, and it's because he's God in the flesh that he's able to save us from our sins. Therefore, we look to Jesus Christ, God-man, God in the flesh, as our mediator. Question 41. Why was our mediator called Jesus? Our mediator was called Jesus because he saves his people from their sins. You see, Jesus' name means something, particularly that he is the one who is able to bring the salvation that only he can as God and man. And then question 42. Why was our mediator called Christ? Our mediator was called Christ because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost above measure, and so set apart and fully furnished with all authority and ability to execute the offices of prophet, priest, and king of his church in the estate both of his humiliation and exaltation. So Jesus is called Christ, which simply means Messiah. Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah, and it means anointed, one who is given the Holy Ghost. And Jesus is here called the one who's given the Holy Ghost above measure. And because of that, he is set apart and yet also given authority and ability to do the work that God's called him to do, that his Father set him out to do and sent him to do, that work of being the faithful prophet, priest, and king of his people. We could go on in the catechism, particularly in this section, questions 43 and following, as it deals with the prophet, priest, and kingly offices that Jesus occupies, and then goes on to discuss the humiliation of Jesus in his incarnation, and then finally his death and his exaltation to the Father's right hand, and then what that means for our life as we seek to obey God's will and God's word and follow his commands. I would encourage you to read through the whole catechism, yes, but especially this section this time of year. Let me close now by turning to Luke chapter 2 and reading what we normally think of as the Christmas story, really this the story of the incarnation of Christ, beginning in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and then we will read through, verse 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has occurred, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Amen. May we remember well the incarnation of our Savior Jesus Christ, who is both God and man, and may we rely upon him and trust in him every day, but especially this particular season, as we think deeply upon these truths, these mysteries that we adore. Amen.